And now, it's time for Margaret Gray's Hollywood Review. Here now is the editor and columnist from the Dicklin Syndicate and the author of A Little Bird Told Me, the weekly column from the Dicklin Syndicate, Margaret Gray.
Thank you very much, Bert Notree, and welcome everyone to Margaret Gray's Hollywood Review. This is the kickoff of what I hope will be a great many shows here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show website and network and associated platforms. Do you like this, Bert?
Oh, it's very, very lively.
Do, 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 do. I sneezed a little bit. Excuse me, folks. A lot of this is going to be very, spontaneous, but I find myself, I'm going back in time now. I may date myself, but I remember when I was a dancer at the Charles Barkoid. That was the lounge there in Las Vegas, and then we took the act to New York. The Charles Barkoid Lounge. And this reminds me of dancing. Then I would lay back and do the full layout, you know. Like, you can't get too much into those terms. That's lovely. That's Fandango, right, Bert?
That is Fandango from Martin Denny. And the album's called Ultra Lounge.
Oh, that's great. Well, what we thought we'd do, and when I say we, I mean me, what I thought I would do, then I went to Phil with the idea. And you have to understand something. When I go to Phil with an idea, I'm not going there to ask. I'm going there to say, here's what we're going to do. I know a lot of people have written in and have asked me, what is the nature of your relationship there on the program? It is strictly as a co-producer. So when Phil says to me, what do you want to do? He means that literally. He knows, and everyone knows. Everyone's down, as the kids like to say, with the idea. It's, what does Margaret want to do, and will she want to do it now or later? Let's clear the decks for Margaret. In fact, Bert...
Well, you wanted to call the...
Come on over to the microphone, Bert.
You wanted to call the program. Let's clear the decks. Here comes Margaret Gray.
I did, but Phil overruled. He didn't overrule, because that would belie what I'm saying. He said, may I strongly suggest the title is too long? And I gave it a day, just to make him sweat.
Well, so he would know who is the boss, right?
That's exactly right. So Phil would know who the boss is. So I let him sweat for a day, and then I said, okay. And that was it. I left that message. In fact, have you got that?
We do.
We only have the recording, though, right?
This is the recording, Margaret, when you left the message for Phil.
And here it is.
Okay.
And so...
Very quick.
It was very quick, but it let Phil know, all right, I've let you sweat for a day, and I'll go with you on that. And so I gave it another 48 hours just to make him sweat a little more. And then I said, let's call it Margaret Gray's Hollywood Review. He came right back with a response, which was going to be yes, but I didn't answer the phone. I let it go to voicemail for another 24 hours.
Which I think establishes the power domain there.
It does. And then he said, thank you for calling me back. You could tell he was relieved. And by then I'd broken him down, and he said, yes, we'll go with Hollywood Review. So this is going to be Margaret Gray's Hollywood Review. I hope you enjoy it. I know I have to clear out of the studio because in the morning Phil has to go to a table read for F is for Family. So there's a little bit of Hollywood information, some inside scoop, if you will. Phil is going to a table read for F is for Family. I happen to know where it's going to be. As you know, a great many stars are on that program, including Laura Dern. But I will tell you that Laura Dern rarely shows up for the table reads, not because she's a snob. No, she's extremely busy, lives much of the time out of the area. So when she does commute back to Los Angeles, this, of course, she is available for those, but not often. And there are other great stars that are on the program. I believe one of them is Vince Vaughn. I may be wrong about that, but I could just make it up and you'd probably believe me, wouldn't you? Let's go to the National Enquirer and take a look and see what they have here in the way of news. And right off the bat, we see the following headline. Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell split. God almighty. God, I when I look at something like that, the first words that come to my mind are, My God, look at you people splitting up now at a point in your lives where you both look, they're not at their best. They're great performers, don't get me wrong. They're great actors, great personalities. And we're a wonderful couple here in the Hollywood area and the surrounding environs, wherever they went. I would see Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn not only in Hollywood, but beyond. You'd see them in, for instance, Culver City, or you would see them in Pasadena, this kind of thing. So they were a great couple in the Hollywood area and beyond that in the Culver Cities and these other areas that would be a little frightening for other actors to wander into, since most of the young people here acting are from out of the area and are frightened beyond words when they go to a place such as Temple City or where Mr. Hendry grew up, Arcadia. In fact, I got a call once. I really shouldn't tell you this, but I got a call from a woman who I thought was Angelina Jolie. It turned out it was someone doing an impersonation of her. But she said, God help me, and then click. And I said to Frank, he looked at me, he said, what's wrong? I said, Frank, I've got to get in the car, I've got to drive, I've got to go. He said, where are you going? I said, I don't know, but Angelina Jolie is out there and needs help. He said, how can you go and help her if you don't know where she is? And I thought about that. I said to myself, excuse me, for just a minute, I do lisp occasionally when the front denture bridge loosens. And you'll notice that I'm not at all the least bit upset about talking about those things. I like to be humble. But when you're doing this program and you don't want to go back and do it again, you have to explain yourself. So right then, when So you have to explain yourself, and that's what happened there. So I was going to get in my car. I was going to drive to where Angelina Jolie was. Frank said, where are you going, Margaret? I said, take your hands off me. He had gripped me about the shoulders, and forgive me, but I could also feel the front pushing against my buttock. And I looked back over my right shoulder, and I said, do you want to do it now here? We were in the garage, and he said, on second thought, no. So then I said, let go of me, and he did. I got into the car, and then I realized he was right. I didn't know where I was going. So then we retreated back into the house. I was sitting not really knowing what to do, and the call came back. It's Angelina Jolie. I'm frightened to death. I said, where are you? She said, I'm in Arcadia, California. Do you know it? I said, my God, one of my co-workers, Phil Hendry, is from there. And then I heard click. Well, one thing led to another. We got a hold of Greek Salvo, who is a security man that Frank knows, and a man known as Frenchie. I don't know his last name. This is another security friend of Frank's. And we found out it was someone crank calling us. It was not Angelina Jolie. It was a woman by the way. Well, I better not say the name, should I? I suppose I know I'll get sued, but I'm going to say it anyway. Her name was Annabelle Alaloin. And she was from Hawaii. And I did have occasion to talk to her very briefly. And I said to her, how are you? I'm Margaret Gray. She said, great, can I talk to you? And I said, no, you can't. And I left the substation where they were holding her. So that's a long, drawn-out story. And the point of it is the following. Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn are known. Those two people were able to charm the pants right off of anyone they met. Very funny story, very quickly, and I'll get to what I really want to talk about. Kurt was in a Thrifty, the old Thrifty drugstore. He asked for a pint of, I think it was sarsaparilla or sassafras. And the woman behind the counter began to strip her pants and underwear off just like that. And I said to Kurt later, I said, you know, you are the definition of charming the pants off of someone. And he looked at And he looked at me and then quickly got into his car and locked the doors. He's that kind of a man. He is a man who, on the one hand, is very accessible to his fans and to those of us who work the Hollywood beat. And then again, he's very easily, I would say, creeped out. And you wonder why. So I'm looking at the National Enquirer here. This is Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell. Both of them do not look all that great for their ages, although I must say, Goldie has aged well. But how good can you look when you're 78 or whatever it is that she is? Kurt Russell now resembles someone's aging football coach, you know. He still wears the mutton chop sideburns. Oh, no, those are not mutton chops. That's actually ear hair. And I'm not trying to be funny. Can I get another picture? Because I want to verify that. That's ear hair. The headline says, Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell split. $130 million at stake. Kurt walks after 34 years. He discovers Goldie's secret lover. Well, let me give you the background on that. No, he didn't. Goldie does not have a secret lover. The fact is, the Enquirer is generally very sympathetic to the male side of any celebrity breakup, and so they concocted out of whole cloth Goldie Hawn having a secret lover. She does not have a secret lover. She was very faithful to Kurt, and there is some question whether or not the two of them are breaking up indeed.
Margaret Gray's Hollywood Review. We'll be right back.
I've got more news from Hollywood right after this.
Pine grease. This stuff wipes on and cleans off. Put it on anything. Put it on yourself. Put it on friends of yours. Put it on furniture. Put it on a car. But put it on and don't ever let it up until you give it the punchline. It's pine grease. Pine grease from Malvasia.
Puerto Rico is a beautiful place to visit. I hope someday... I'm sorry? A hurricane. God damn it. Paid for by the Puerto Rico Bureau of Tourism.
This is Greg Malvetti reminding you to drink at work. Always bring an alcoholic beverage with you and always begin to drink around 10 a.m. By 1, they'll send you home. Greg Malvetti for Drinking at Work.
Paid for by the Puerto Rican Bureau of Tourism.
Welcome back to Margaret Gray's Hollywood Review with Margaret Gray, the author of the nationally syndicated A Little Bird Told Me column. By the Dicklin Syndicate.
Thank you very much, Bert Notree, and welcome back to Margaret Gray's Hollywood Review. Well, we were just talking about Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell. You know, I saw the two of them on the Tribute to the Heroes right after 9/11. We all remember what a shocking time that was. And if you remember, there was a television special. It was a musical tribute that was done not more than a week later. And they had in some of the biggest names in Hollywood. I was stunned. And I talked to my husband, Frank, longtime producer Frank Gray, as you know, executive producer of Bunkhouse, as well as Jim Goldblatt Theater, and Lucky Strike Sends Them to Hell Sports Review. Frank said to me that to gather that many notable stars into one place was unheard of in the history of television. And yet there they were, Al Pacino, Jack Nicholson, yeah? Okay, you know where I'm going. Jack Nicholson, uh-huh. I think that was it. Then there was Kurt Russell, Goldie Hawn, and then I think Alex Trebek and some others. So it wasn't that big, but they did get a few people to answer telephones. And I had to say to Frank, I watched this unfold almost with horror. I watched it unfold, in fact, with as much horror in my eyes and in my heart as watching the Twin Towers fall, when I saw not only Jack Nicholson, Al Pacino, Goldie Hawn, and Kurt Russell on the program, but then I saw them go around behind these stations and begin answering phones. Now, just keep that in mind for a moment. Some of the great names in Hollywood, some of our great stars, are told to go over there and answer a phone. And maybe you get a break and you can go over and get yourself some lousy coffee and a sandwich they picked up over here at Togo's. My God, I'd be embarrassed. But to their credit, Kurt and Goldie and Jack and the other man, the Italian, right? Al Nicholson. Al Pacino and Jack Nicholson, to their credit, sat there and answered those phones and tried to look as if they were enjoying it, even though, as we know from background information, and because people I know that were there, they despised every second they were there. Let's take a look now at some other Hollywood Review news. This one is not such a shock. Callista's face destroyed by surgery. I'm Margaret Gray.
Margaret Gray's Hollywood Review. Time for a look at plastic surgery.
Well, you heard the headline, and let's give you the background. Calista's face destroyed by surgery. Now, Calista Flockhart, you know, is the wife of Harrison Ford, a man who was a good deal older than her. When they got together, it was a little bit of a scandal. She looks very young. In fact, people were not quite sure, in reality, how old she was. And there was a bit of a scandal. And I can tell you this, there were more than one or two women in Hollywood almost passing out, having a difficult time breathing, and in some instances, having a bit of an intestinal problem, some spitting up. You understand what I'm saying. When they began to really think about Harrison Ford and Calista Flockhart together, I was at a Hollywood columnist luncheon. This was in tribute to the late, great Hedda Hopper. So many of us trying to follow in her footsteps. And I saw Marilyn Dugel and Brenda Langton, both of them, in the ladies' lounge, vomiting. And I don't think either one of them would have a problem with me saying that. And I could hear them in the stall. I said, "What's wrong, dear?" I was talking to Brenda, and I'll just approximate what she sounded like. But, you know...
Well, you did do a good impression.
I'm listening to her going... I said, "What's wrong, dear?" She said, "Harrison Ford and Calista Flockhart." And then I heard her try to lift herself one final time. She failed, collapsed, her chin hitting the bowl, and then her head on the floor. I'm Margaret Gray.
And now back to more Hollywood Review with Margaret Gray.
Thank you very much, Bert Notree. Welcome back here to Hollywood Review. I'm Margaret Gray. Those are some unfortunate stories, but what I didn't get to is, what does Calista Flockhart's face look like now? You know, in Hollywood, your face is everything. Your image, which includes the physiognomy. Okay? The physiognomy. What is physiognomy? The physical shape. The physical presentation. No one is saying you have to be a handsome or beautiful woman. God knows Hollywood has some of the most frightening looking people who are great stars. One thinks of one of the greatest actors in the world, but someone that you would, upon first meeting, you would most likely dive under a sofa or jump through a window, a closed window. And this is the reason why I'm bringing that up, is that's exactly what I did with the great Danny DeVito.
That's great.
Yes. I give him a round of applause. He's one of the great actors. He's a great producer. I don't think there's much that Danny DeVito can't do, but one thing it's impossible for him to do is, at the moment we met, is to keep me in the room without diving through a closed window, a plate glass window, which is what I did. I didn't know what it was when I first saw it, and in years since, I've kidded Danny, and I've said, when we first met, I thought you were extra dimensional.
Margaret Gray, Extra Dimensionality, and the Hollywood Review.
Welcome back, everyone. Danny DeVito, as I say, a great, great actor. Let's talk about some other actors who's, well, Danny, as you know, is just wild looking. I say that to him now when I see him. I say, you know, he says, "You remember you dove through a plate glass window when you first saw me?" I said, Danny. You know full well why I did that. I was taking nerve tonic at the time. I was being prescribed nerve tonic by a very notorious Hollywood doctor whose name I don't want to mention, but I will. Dr. Rondeval. Ekram Rondeval. Yes, okay. I see people nodding. Ekram Rondeval was not just a quack, but I think he was, in every sense, a mad scientist. He was mad. And had I stayed under his care, there's no doubt I would have died.
Margaret Gray lives to tell again. The Hollywood Review.
Thank you, Bert Notree. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray. Among the more frightening faces in Hollywood, as long as we're talking about scary-looking people who are still great stars, Let's talk about Calista Flockhart. Now, I didn't know anything about this until I read about it in the Enquirer this very AM. I had stopped off at Bernappi's, which is a very refined, and I would say top shelf liquor emporium, Bernappi's. And I had stopped in because Frank likes a particular gin. It's a Bombay gin, but not the pedestrian Bombay gin. This is a Bombay gin with a hint of clove that they only produce once a year out of their distillery in Bombay, India. Not Bombay. No. People make that mistake. In Bombay or Bombay, India. Is it Bombay or Bombay?
I believe it's Bombay.
Bombay, but it's not Bombay.
No.
I stop in once a year because, to be honest with you, Frank loves this gin. And when he drinks this particular gin, when Frank drinks, he's very, I would say, controlled. But when he drinks this gin, we can't be too careful. We have to remove the car keys. I know it sounds frightening, but we have to put a cover on the pool. We take all of his clothes away except for one pair of briefs and one pair of treaded socks. We allow him the backyard, but only the backyard. And we give him a night soil bucket and one pack of Marlboro cigarettes. You can well imagine the effects that this particular Bombay gin has. It is, again, distilled in Bombay, India. Well, in any event, I had stopped off at one of our favorite bottle shops, and I walked in and I looked, and I saw a woman who had a kisser on her. Excuse me for using the very colloquial terminology. She had a mug on her that would bust all the windows out in your house, I'm sure. My house, most of them, but we do pay for a higher grade of glass. For that very reason, I don't know if I'm ever going to have a Calista Flockhart in my home, but looking at the kisser on Calista Flockhart these days, one asks, what did she do to her cheeks? Was she going for what we call the Alvin look? Now, the National Enquirer, in their headline, intimate that Calista Flockhart wanted Alvin. Now, that term, wanted Alvin, means in the world of Hollywood stars and in the world of great actresses, when you want Alvin, you want a chipmunk cheek. And then if it goes over good, you'll go and do the other cheek as a chipmunk. So a lot of actresses will go in and see some of the great plastic surgeons like Boyd Renfro, Waxman Diller. These are the big names in Hollywood. They'll have one cheek done chipmunk, or it'll go Alvin, and they'll look and they'll say, you know what, let's go whole hog. They give two fingers up, they give the high sign, they'll turn around and do something juvenile like point at their rectums or something stupid and give another high sign, and that means do the other cheek. Only once, and it wasn't funny, I can tell you that, did I know an actress who said, let's go whole hog, do the other cheek, and the doctor gave her what we call colloquially an ass lift on one side of the ass. The other ass cheek was the same, and she had a chipmunk cheek on the face, an ass cheek. It was a nightmare, and it was another 6 months in surgery, in and out of surgery, and they finally got that straight. When I look at the lovely Calista Flockhart, I ask myself, and I ask her, even though she's not here, I know in some way she can hear me, and I know today, yes, she can hear me, and is most likely listening. I say, Calista, you are gorgeous. I remember you as the young beauty there on television when you did 902, I forget the show you were on. 52 years of age, you should be, as Frank calls you, and he says this daily, and I give him this because Frank is approaching senility, and he's also right. You are one class piece of ass, as Frank puts it. And I'll say, Frank, what day is it? And he'll say to me, Calista Flockhart is a piece of ass. I'll say, go ahead and lie down, honey, and that's what he'll do. But Calista, when you had the one cheek done, they caved it in, you needed to have the lips. Something's wrong. I can't get to it right now. But I know with a consult, and we will put that call in just as soon as they're freed up there at the Mayo Clinic. Did you know that there is an actual descendant of Dr. Frankenstein?
I knew that, yes.
Let's get him on the phone, too.
You got it.
Margaret Gray's Hollywood Review. I'm Bert Notree. It's that time of year you've got to get your gutters cleaned out. Your rain gutters all need to be cleaned out of the leaves, the rot, all of the branches that have fallen into them. My name is Tad Notree. I'm the older brother of Bert Notree, who's the announcer on the Margaret Gray Hollywood Review show. When I heard out that my brother was going to be announcer, I say, can I have commercial my That was my brother. I'm Bert Notree. You have to visit the Notree family gutter cleansing business. It was started by my grandfather here in the Southern California area, up in the Arcadia, Sierra Madre areas. That was in the 1920s. Well, a lot has changed since then. Rain gutters are getting more jammed than ever before. The rain is falling, lots of leaves, lots of the beautiful green foliage that we... Are we out of time?
Yes.
Back to Hollywood Review with Margaret Gray.
Thank you, Bert Notree. Welcome, everyone. Hollywood Review is here for you. Megyn Kelly. Let's talk about Megyn Kelly. She was spotted recently at the U.S. Open, that is the tennis tournament, that is held at Forest Hills in the city of New York, in the suburban areas of New York City. She was spotted there at the Open with her husband, Douglas Brunt. And she definitely was not having a good time. Her face, or as we call it in Hollywood, the kisser, was bemoaning the fact that her ratings are in the gutter, they're in the sewer. And I love Megyn Kelly. I think she's a great star. She's gorgeous. She's smart. I think she's a great interviewer. But since coming over to NBC, the hex is on. The curse is on. She had all of the great luck that one could have at Fox. A man that appreciated her work. And yes, you were expected when you worked for Roger Ailes to perform, and forgive me, but this is very important to understand, you were expected to perform fellatio and to at least be open to the idea of anal entry. Now, I'm sorry.
My God.
No, Bert, I'm sorry. It has to be said. And in exchange, if you allowed Roger Ailes that access, the sky's the limit. I'm Margaret Gray.
Margaret Gray. The sky's the limit. Margaret Gray's Hollywood Review.
Thank you, Bert Notree. So Megyn Kelly had a choice to make. I can stay at Fox and continue under the tutelage of, well, maybe not Roger Ailes, because I had a hand along with Gretchen Carlson in destroying his life and destroying, or at least attempting to destroy his legacy. Or I can leave. I can get out of Dodge while the house burns to the ground with the Sean Hannity inside screaming for help, someone to come in and get him out of a locked bathroom that he can't get out of as he screams and burns. You know something? I'm sorry. I allow my prejudice to get... Let's do it again. Do it again.
Margaret Gray, Hollywood Review.
Let's bring on a friend of mine. I have to get out of my mind the image of what Megyn Kelly did to Fox News. Megyn Kelly, and I wish her all the luck in the world. I really do. I think she'll do well at NBC. Once she gets with the program, her husband, Douglas Brunt, very handsome man, but I don't think he quite gets it. His wife will be expected to perform certain acts for executives at NBC, Mr. Brunt. I don't know if anyone's been honest with you, but your wife will be expected to perform those acts. Do it again.
Sorry, Margaret Gray and the Hollywood Review.
I want to bring on a friend of mine, John Jerryman. I am so lucky to be involved with such a great man. John Jerryman is in Philadelphia, one of the great singers. I was in musical theater with him in the 1970s in New York, and I'd love to bring him on the line from Philadelphia. John Jerryman. John, a very, very pleasant good day, and how have you been?
Margaret, thank you. It's wonderful to talk with you.
How have you been, John?
Oh, I've been wonderful. I've been wonderful there. Treating us well. You know, we are in the senior retirement here, Main Line in Philadelphia, and this young lady who, as you know, had been harassing me, and elderly, I say young, she's an elderly woman who'd been trying...
Well, let's be clear. She was trying to get her hand down your pants?
Through the fly, though. She wasn't trying to get her hand down. She she was trying to make entry through the fly. And that was what I really was offended by. I told the nurses and the staff here, as they brought me in, I was wearing an ascot and a bathrobe and some flea-bitten slippers, trying to look dignified in a pair of pajamas that hadn't been washed in Christ months. And they said, "What's your problem, Jerryman?" I said, "I'll tell you what my problem is. It's the old woman trying to make entry into my slacks through the fly." And they said, "What difference does it make whether it's, you know..."
What difference does it make?
It doesn't. I said, whether she's trying to go down the front of the pants or trying to gain access through the fly, trying to unzip my fly. And one time she actually tried to tear the fly apart. That's when I felt threatened. That's when I felt that I needed security.
All right, and this is very important. And did you get the security?
I got a kid by the name of Jethro. And I said, "Is that some kind of a joke?" Because I thought it was Jethro Pugh or Jethro... I said, "What's your name, Clampett?" And he went, "Ha-ha," like I haven't heard that before. I said, "Well, what is your name?" He said, "Tull." I said, "For Christ on a crutch." He said, "Tull." I said, "Your name's Jethro Tull." He said, "Yes." I said, "All right, that's more acceptable. Tell me Jethro Clampett or something like that."
All right, well, let's get to the song you want to sing for us.
Yes, I want to sing a Margaret for you, If Ever I Would Leave You. Robert Goulet sang this in Camelot on Broadway. I was his understudy there, 1963. Here it is.
Oh, my God, I love this song. Ladies and gentlemen, John Jerryman.
If ever I would leave you, how could it be in summer? Seeing you in summer, I don't think I'd go. Your face all lit up with the sun gleaming through. You're dancing along the sand. I'd like to do you through and through. God damn it.
I got it.
No, drunk. Margaret.
All right, you know what? Get it under control, John, or get gone.
Oh, bullsh.
Margaret Gray, The Hollywood Review. I'm Bert Notray.
Thank you, Bert, although I'm the one that's supposed to...
I'm sorry.
That was Bert Notray, folks, and John Jerryman with that pleasant, pleasant interlude, although I feel very bad for John. He was going to sing the entire song, and then you could hear the old lady trying to... gain access, right?
Well, I believe it's through the fly. So.
Well, getting back to Megyn Kelly, so she was there at the U.S. Open, and she was wearing a red top off the shoulders. Her husband was there. Her face looked quite contorted. One can easily recognize in that face the sadness, the disappointment, the anguish of having a television show that, in the words of the young people and some of the young ones that I work with, a television show that sucks butt. it's a tough one. The former Fox News anchor got dolled up in a racy red number for her big night out with her hen-pecked hubby, author Douglas Brunt. They call him an author, by the way. I've never read anything by him. Have you?
No, I haven't.
But Megan's sad sack look betrayed the strain she's been in. That she's been under, amid reports that NBC executives are having serious doubts about the September 25th debut of Megyn Kelly today in the morning ratings race. Now, I would read you this article from the National Enquirer, but it's garbage because the Enquirer is prejudiced toward Donald Trump. So you know that anything having to do with Megyn Kelly is going to be dishonest, will not be reported accurately. They'll put their most mendacious reporters on it, and they'll walk into the publisher's office and the owner's office with the story and say, "Here it is, a complete lie. Her breasts are large for some 50-year-old bag." I don't get it.
This is Hollywood Review with Margaret Gray.
Well, just a few more minutes here on Hollywood Review. I hope you enjoyed Hollywood Review. If you did, please write us an email or a letter to Phil Hendry, care of The Phil Hendry Show, and say, "You know what, Phil, I want more of Margaret's Hollywood Review. I like it. I think it does a lot for your show, your website, and it informs me. It informs me greatly, and I need the information, what her show," because a lot of you talk that way, so let me just dictate what you should say in the language that a lot of you are used to. "Dear Phil, I are writing about Margaret Gray's show, Margaret Gray's Hollywood Review, question mark. The Margaret Gray Hollywood Review would be eternally grateful to you, and certainly would send you our kudos, a very personal email from me. I can't give you my autograph because I don't know what you're going to do with it. We do have to be careful with those kinds of things. I'm sure you understand. Well, let's move on to our final story of the day here on the Hollywood Review. President Trump takes charge to rally recovery. Well, it's a wonderful headline, and I wish I could believe it, but the National Enquirer is published by a friend and, to put it crudely, blow buddy, and I think that's what Todd Wenzel said, right, Bert?
Yeah, you did very accurately.
Todd said that the publisher of the National Enquirer is a blow buddy of President Trump's, which means, essentially, they... Well, you know what? I can't say it.
Well, they suck each other's cocks.
I beg your pardon, Bert.
Sorry.
So let's just say that they're very, very, very good friends, closer than brothers. President Trump... Well, actually, they wouldn't be... No, I... Oh, God. Oh, I want to throw up. In fact, I think I will throw up.
Rag.
Oh, thank God.
Margaret Gray's Hollywood Review. Executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.
I'm Margaret Gray. Join me again next time for another Hollywood Review. Oh, I'm thinking of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I'm only kidding. I think Don Trump is great. Ah, yeah. Oh, listen to these arpeggios. I like that.
Yeah.